The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, our Christ.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Every time I write a sermon, I begin by reading the scripture passages for my assigned Sunday as far in advance as possible. I read this gospel as soon as the preaching schedule was sent to me a few weeks ago, and I thought to myself, what am I going to talk about? There was nothing that stood out. Jesus heals 10 lepers. He sends them on their way. One turns back and says, "Thank you." Jesus asks what happened to the other 9. He didn't stop to say thank you. Then he sends the man on his way saying, "Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. All I could do was repeat this line. Finally, after a few dozen times, I was struck. Didn't faith make all the others who were healed well? All 10 of them were healed, and it was by faith that all 10 of them were healed. And yet, Jesus singles this man out. He asks, "Was none of them found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he says to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." What does this mean? Do Jesus' final words to this man suggest that he was not, in fact, remarkable for his religious devotion, except that he paused to say thank you? Do they suggest that there is, in fact, only a minuscule difference between those of us who thank God for his work and those of us who simply believe? Of course not. There is, I think, a double meaning to the word "well." When Jesus tells the man he was made well, he is not referring to the healing of his disease. Instead, he is referring to a change in disposition. The man has become spiritually whole because he has acknowledged the gift given to him by God. He has been made well by virtue of his realization of God's power, of God's presence in the world. This man's faith is of a different sort than the rest of the lepers who were healed. The others were healed by their faith, but this man's faith has made him well. So in today's gospel, we have two kinds of faith. There is faith, the faith that accepts that God exists and does great things in the world. It is a matter of intellectual assent. The question is asked, "Do you believe in God?" And the answer is, "I believe in God, and I believe that God works in the world for the cause of goodness." There is nothing wrong with this faith, but there is room for more. The second type of faith is the faith that makes one well. This faith also begins with belief, but at some point there is the realization that all the things that are believed inspire us to action. It is at this point that our soul becomes unified, when the things we hold in our minds are joined to the entirety of our bodies, and all our intellectual understandings manifest themselves in outward action. This is why the man turns back to Jesus to thank him. This is why he turns back to Jesus to praise God and to acknowledge his gift. His faith now takes the form of outward actions of praise and gratitude, and in these actions, the start of a new life is signaled. But there is still something amiss with this passage. And this is the question of what it is specifically that we should actually believe in. The healed man, whose faith has made him well, is a Samaritan, meaning that he is of a separate and ostracized religious sect, set apart from the mainstream Hebrew religion of that period. For Jews in that time, his faith would be in error. Though they perhaps shared the same God, they did not worship together. They did not have the same holidays. They did not have the same religious beliefs. They certainly did not share enough to consider each other partakers of a common faith. And nothing is mentioned or suggested about the man converting to follow Christ. All it says is that the man praised God and thanked Jesus, suggesting that all he knew of Jesus was that he was a healer through whom God worked. What does this mean for our faith then? Perhaps it means that the specific content is not the most important issue. It never seems to concern Jesus. He healed Samaritans and centurions and Gentiles and never stopped to ask what they believed. This is not to say that what we express when we recite the creeds is not important. It is simply to say that the significance of a statement of faith is not found in the pronouncement of propositions. Rather, the creed's significance is found in the way that it shapes us to more clearly manifest God's love in the world. The importance of a creed is not in the recitation of the right words, but rather in the way those words change our lives. The 20th century theologian Hans Urs von Balthasar wrote of what might happen if we were all able to hold our faith as the healed man did. He writes, "If this is so, then the church will no longer be judged by her credo formulas, still less by the utterances of her theologians, but instead by the inner meanings of her creeds, the inner meanings that lie behind their formulas and phrases, and by what those inner meanings promise of the grace of God and the demands they make on humans and all their actions." Look at the inner meaning of your faith. Look for all that you are promised and given as a gift from God. See how your faith calls you to action in the world. This is the life we are invited to. The life where we pause and kneel before God in praise and thanksgiving. This is a life of joy and gratitude, of outward effort and striving. Look at your faith, therefore. Look, and perhaps you may find that your faith has made you well. Amen.